Welcome to the Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 243, Smile.
Once you see this podcast, it's already too late.
Ha ha ha.
Good thing they can't see us then, huh?
I guess so.
Because it's too late then.
They're all safe. We'd lose all our listeners if they could see us.
What are we, like Medusa, where we just turn them into stone? I mean,
I like to think that their heads explode.
Wow. Dark. Appropriate. I don't know. I was watching Wednesday, so I just want everyone. I want to be a Gorgon.
A Gorgon?
I want to turn things to stone. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
Gorgon. How you doing?
Gorgon.
How you doing, Chaos?
I hear they taste good.
Chalky.
I'm doing great. How are you, Carnage?
I am fabulous. I'm okay. No, I'm okay. It's been a busy week.
Yeah.
I had a wedding on Saturday, and then I had a holiday party for work on Tuesday. And then Catastrophe and Morpheus had their baby on Tuesday night as well during the holiday party.
Yay! Congratulations to Catastrophe and Morpheus.
We are so happy for you guys. Congrats. We can't wait for the podcast name of the baby. So we will withhold until we find out what you've chosen for the baby's podcast name. So,
yes.
But congrats to you guys. And but it's been a busy week because I was then pet sitting while they were in the hospital. So
yeah,
it's been chaos. Like that's just my life has been chaos, basically. Not like a good chaos like you, but like the case of chaos.
Oh, I'm good chaos.
I guess.
Wow.
It's a perception thing. So yes, I guess I would say you're a good chaos.
Wow.
Most people probably say, ew, chaos. And I'm kidding.
That's true, they do.
No kidding. Ew, David.
Ew, David.
Anyway, how was your week going?
Really good. I did not have nearly as much going on, but that's pretty normal.
Sorry, I'm like, have events and stuff. I'm just kidding. I don't normally do that either.
Yeah, normally you don't have events and weddings and that kind of stuff.
I mean, I barely have friends, so.
Exactly.
You need friends for those things, but I don't have any, but yeah.
Was it like a family wedding? Were you related to who was getting married?
No, it was my friend. Shut up. I actually do have a couple friends. They occasionally invite me to places.
So you lied.
What?
You said you didn't have any friends.
I'll backtrack. I barely have friends.
You have at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 that I can think of.
I have 9 that you can think of because we have the same 9 friends. Actually,
okay.
Unless you know one that doesn't like me secretly. And then
you don't know.
I've got friends at work. So this is a work friend.
Okay, so, I see.
Yes. And I got friends in other states too. Like, but they're Facebook friends now, so.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. See?
Yes.
Everyone's a different level of friend. You know, like you slot into a different filing cabinet of where your friendship is.
I just thought of the 9th person. All right.
Okay, there you go. We have 9 whole friends.
We have 9 friends. That's why our podcast is so popular.
Welcome to the Friendless Zone. Population you. Anyway, I'm sorry. I cut you off. What would you do this week?
Oh, not much. We took the car into the shop and that's about it.
No, tell that story.
No,
it's a great story.
I don't think so.
No, tell the story.
No, I don't think so.
Come on now.
I didn't ask if it was okay to tell, so.
You don't have to say who you went to the shop with. You just went to the car store place with someone.
Well, that's okay.
All right, fine. Well, it sounds like you got out at least.
I was out. I was out for most of the day. So that was good because leaving the house sometimes is beneficial as much as I don't like to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mama Carnage is the same way. Well, she likes to leave the house. She just has nowhere to go and she doesn't drive anymore.
Yeah.
So, but I'm like, I've got to go to Sugar and Falls to get popcorn for the boss's gift, for part of the boss's gift. I was like, do you want to come to Sugar and Falls? And it was like an excited puppy. Yeah. Yeah. I want to go to Sugar and Falls. Pick me up after work. We'll go to Sugar and Falls. It's kind of adorable. So opposite of you though. Cause if I said, do you want to come to Sugar and Falls? You'd be like, ugh, I guess I can.
What are you talking about? I'd be like, yes, I would love to go to Chagrin Falls.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't think you'd want to go for like a 10-minute trip. I mean, it was really just a drive there. We popped into the popcorn place and popped the fuck out.
Actually, you know, Chagrin Falls is where Dickface said that he loved me. So maybe I shouldn't go to Chagrin
Falls.
Maybe
you shouldn't go there. What was that, your second date?
3 months, thank you. 3 months.
Oh, so your third date. No, I'm just kidding. Huh. Just kidding. Anyway, moving on. Should we get to who we are and what we do? Because I lost my phone and I got to figure this out.
Yeah, sure. We are the Mostly Podcast at Night.
Mostly.
We are two best friends of 25 years who bicker and banter our way through a different horror movie each week. We take turns picking the flicks so you don't have to. Mostly they are because we want to share them with you, our dear listeners. But sometimes they are revenge picks or prevenge picks for the other host because we have hashtag friendship goals. Our friendship lives in the hashtag Marianas Trench of Hate, where we duke it out MMA style every time we don't see eye to eye in movies because we have our very own octagon down there. Warnings for spoilers ahead and expletives ahead.
That is right. And this week it's not a prevenge or a revenge. I hadn't heard about this movie. One of my coworkers told me because her son went and said how I had so many jump scares, and that's kind of like my jam. So I'm like, I'm there. So I didn't do it to torture you. I just kind of wanted to see it after she told me about it.
Sure you didn't.
It's true.
Sure.
Come on now. Anyway, this week we did Smile. It was just this year's. I mean, it's streaming if you got Paramount Plus, but actually it's still in the theaters too if you don't have Paramount Plus.
You can also rent it on Prime
for
and
$5.99.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's only $3 more to buy it.
Ouch.
I'm too much of a commitment freak for that. It was an hour and 50, it was rated R, an hour and 55 minutes long, and it got a 6.6 on the IMDb scale. What about the tomato meter?
So glad that you asked, because you see, the tomato meter is certified fresh. At a 79%, critics' consensus, deeply creepy visuals, and a standout Sosie Bacon further elevate Smile's unsettling exploration of trauma, adding up to the rare feature that satisfyingly expands on a short. Audience score, 77%.
Nice.
Audience says, you may need to pay close attention in order to keep up with the story, but fans of slow-burning horror should leave Smile with a grin. Yeah.
Why do we have to pay close attention?
Because it's apparently slow burning horror.
Well, I know it's slow burning because I didn't enjoy that part of it, but it's not like it's intricate. Like, it's not like you got to pick up clues and shit.
No, it's not really hard.
Yeah.
But I mean, you do have to pay attention.
What? I can't sleep like you caught me snoring earlier today?
No.
That was 2 seconds of snoring at the most, though. I mean, honestly, I wasn't asleep for very long.
No, it wasn't very long. It was just funny.
What was the last movie I fell asleep at? Sorority House. I fell asleep a lot. I'm like the old grandpa, like watching Jeopardy. I will just fall asleep randomly. Mm-hmm. Your couch. I'm sorry. Okay. First of all, the couch is way too comfortable that I sit in. Second of all, it's a warm spot. Mm-hmm. Third of all, I have narcolepsy. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a serious issue, Carnage.
No, it's just very, you should be happy because that means I feel safe in your house to fall asleep because I'm a cat, remember?
Yes.
And we only fall asleep when we're safe.
Understood.
So you should feel very, you know, it's a compliment that I fall asleep in your house. To most
okay.
movies, so
all right. I'll take it as a compliment. Sure.
I'm sorry. I fall asleep all the time. Anyway, should we get to casting?
Yeah, let's talk about this cast. As soon as I pull it up. Okay. Sosie Bacon was Rose.
She's actually the daughter of Kevin Bacon and Kara Sedgwick, who Chaos loves.
Yep.
She was in As We See It, Traces, and it was killing me because I knew who she was, and it's because she was in 13 Reasons Why as Skye, and that's I know her.
Oh, I never watched that.
I watched the first and a half season.
Hmm. Jesse T. Usher was Trevor.
He's in The Boys, The Banker, and the 2019 version of Shaft. Damn right.
Shaft. Only talking about Shaft. Kyle Gallner was Joel.
We just saw him in Scream 2022, Ghost of War, and Mother May I.
Robin Weigert was Dr. Madeline.
She was in Bombshell, Sons of Anarchy, and Deadwood.
Oh, interesting. Cal Penn was Dr. Morgan Desai.
My crush. He was in Designated Survivor, all the Harold and Kumar movies, of course, and Van Wilder.
Caitlin Stacy was Laura.
She was in Bridge and Tunnel, The Only One, and Kindred Spirits.
And Jillian Zinsser was Holly.
She was in The Guilty, the newest version of 90210, and Liars. Do you want a little summary?
I would love one of Carnage's famous five-second summaries.
Someone smiled at Rose and things went awry.
Things went very awry. You do not smile at this girl. No. She's just not the cheery type. She doesn't want to be smiled at. She
can't handle that shit.
She cannot handle it. She goes to pieces.
So, you knew about the promo that Paramount did for this.
I did, where they all went to the baseball games and smiled.
Like the creepy grin?
Yeah, that did the creepy grin.
Now I'm going to have to go see if I can find YouTube videos of this, because I am so disconnected with, like, I don't watch sports. I don't watch a lot of audience-driven stuff like Good Morning America. Like, I watch Rachel Maddow. I watch like Don Lemon, like the CNN stuff that doesn't have like audiences. I won't see things like this. You know?
Okay.
What I mean?
I don't watch sports. I don't watch any of that crap you were just talking about. I saw it on Facebook.
Oh, I'm barely on Facebook. I am so disconnected these days. I really am disconnected. I feel as disconnected now as I was in Indiana when I never had a TV. And all I could watch was like, I had Netflix DVD exchange. Remember when it was Netflix and wasn't even streaming?
It was just DVDs. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's all I had. That's how disconnected I feel these days. Mm-hmm. I think I was on Facebook more back then too.
Like, you probably were MySpace, I think, back so. Then. Yeah. So,
I don't know. I just feel very disconnected. So yeah, I didn't know about that. I just think it's a very cool promo though. So
yeah.
Creepy as fuck.
It was very creepy. Yeah.
But cool.
And they even said it was the promo for the movie, so like I knew what it was about, but it was still just like, damn, that's creepy.
It's a creepy fucking grin.
Yeah, it is a very creepy grin.
I will start doing that to everyone now.
Yeah, just grin, especially if they like don't expect it. They're like, so are you okay today? I hear that you weren't doing, oh my God, what the hell?
I'm going to do that to Jack and the one that told me about this one. I'm like, just walk in her office on Monday. I'm going to have to do a little eyebrow action with it though. Freak her the fuck out. Of course, she didn't see this movie, so it might not mean anything to her, but like, tell your son. Okay, I'll explain it to you. Anyway, this movie is long.
Yes, it is 115
minutes. 55
minutes. 155
minutes. I thought it was over 2 hours, too, when I was watching. I was like, God, how fucking long is this movie? Because it does have a slow burn to it, but our main character is Rose. Poor Rose. She's had a lot of trauma in her life.
Yes.
And she is a psychiatrist, or she's a therapist.
She's a therapist, which is a psychiatrist, which is a doctor.
But you can be a therapist.
Psychologist. Okay, sorry. There we go. She's a psychologist. She's a bad.
Okay. I was going to say, I thought.
Not a psychiatrist.
Anyway, she works in a mental hospital. Is that the appropriate term these days?
Yeah.
It is still appropriate. Okay.
Yeah.
I've never.
She works in an emergency psychiatric department, actually.
Is it like an intake place?
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Morgan Desai is her boss there. But she's had a lot of trauma in her life where she witnessed her mother's suicide.
Yep.
We later find out she could have called 911. Although even if she called 911, I think the mom probably would have died.
Probably. But so, she didn't. She didn't she call 911. Attempt to save her mom.
I wouldn't do it either. Just
probably
kidding.
Not. I mean, honestly, her mom was not a good person.
No, her mom was not.
But she was sick. She needed help. But yeah. She obviously wasn't getting help. And her 10-year-old daughter is not the right person to get her help.
I was going
to
say, she was actually, you know, she was only 10, too. So that doesn't help. Yeah. Things, you know, come on. Anyway, so we have a little flashback of that. That's how the movie starts. But then now Laura wakes up from that dream because she's an adult. And she's taking care of these patients that are coming and coming. Keep thinking I see something behind me. Damn it. No, this movie didn't affect me. Shut up. Stop smiling. Anyway, we see her, you know, interact with a couple patients, the nurses, her boss, and then we get another intake where this girl just witnessed her professor kill himself in front of her.
Yes.
And she's trying to talk to this girl, and this girl's just freaked out. She sees faces, people, she says, people that sometimes it's people she knows, but they're always smiling and they're, it's creeping her the fuck out. And
they cause things to happen and she doesn't know up from down and left from right anymore.
Mm-hmm. And she actually gets attacked, I think, while she's in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to Rose, it looks like she fell out of her chair, but I think Laura was just attacked.
Yes.
And Rose turns away to call for help. And by the time she turns back, Laura's standing there with this grin on her face and a piece of this broken vase. And she cuts herself from ear to the other side of her neck.
Yeah, ear to ear. She just totally.
Which, can we comment for a second on how slow that fucking support staff was, considering it was an emergency phone?
I know.
Like, what the actual fuck? They were right down the hall.
Yeah,
they weren't really moving slow. With a purpose when they came in the room either.
No, they weren't.
They're like, do, what's going on here? Oh, someone's dead. Okay, now we'll run. I mean,
yeah,
a little too late, buddies. So, she horrible way to die. But Rose is just really taken aback by it, obviously. But then, even as early as that night, she starts seeing her.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's in her kitchen. With her cute little cat mustache.
Mustache. Cutest. We get a church award for mustache.
We're doing the cutest name ever for a cat, mustache.
Mustache. It's like Mr. Business.
I love it. Look at the little Mr. Businessman. Anyway.
Church is named after church from Pet Sematary. Anytime a film has a pet that dies, they get a church award.
Yes.
Which is our award. We just made it up.
It's a thing.
We haven't done awards in a while, so I just figured I should explain.
No, it's a good idea. And we haven't had an award for a while either, though. You know what I mean?
Like, I feel like we have. We just haven't been paying attention to awards.
I feel like we had a cameo Chad, which we'll talk about.
Okay.
Well, we'll talk about that now. So right after Laura dies, these two cops come in. One is her ex-boyfriend, and one is this other douchebag cop. Who's like, oh, the crazies. Like, he's like completely offensive. I think I gave him a little cameo Chad because he was a complete. And Chad is from our very first episode, Cabin in the Woods. Nope.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Thank you. Where it's like just a douche canoe of a character. You're just a complete douche.
Like, there's always one in every friend group in a movie. There's mm-hmm. Who's just a total douchebag.
Yeah. And in this movie, it's that cop, yeah. I think. Because he's like, but they're crazy, right? Like, what other, like, horribly bad words that he used. He called them crazies. Nut job, I think he called
us. Nut job, like, something like that. He said, like, he was just really insulting about the way he framed everything.
Oh, yeah. And completely dismissive, too.
Yeah.
Completely. But anyway, so that's my little Chad award. It's a mini Chad because we only see him for like 5 minutes. Yeah. So. But yeah, she starts seeing Laura like in her kitchen that night. Her partner comes home and scares her and breaks her up the vision of it.
Mm-hmm.
Who we find out his name is Trevor, like an hour into the movie. I love it because we've got the subtitles on and it just says partner. Doesn't even tell us who he is.
He doesn't have a name for the first half of the movie.
But she's understandably upset. You know, I mean, it was a traumatic thing she witnessed.
Yep.
But she starts seeing Laura everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes even more so where she starts looking into it. Like, it's bothering her so much that Dr. Morgan says, you need to, you know, you need to take a time off work because she's got an interaction with a patient where she thought he was becoming aggressive towards her.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells him that she needs to be restrained. But when they go to restrain him, he's just laying in the bed.
He's asleep, yeah.
He's asleep. And he's freaking out because they're starting to restrain him while he's in the sleep of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Dr. Morgan tells her he needs to take a week off, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, probably.
Her asshole sister, Chadette.
Chadette, yeah, really.
There, she had guilted her into... She's got her sister Holly. They go out to dinner. Her partner Trevor, Holly and Holly's husband go out to dinner, and they just talk down to her too about her job and how, like, private crazy people will pay you big money. Like, they're completely offensive as well too, and dismissive, and don't understand how she works on a Saturday. People work Saturdays, dude. Like,
people work Saturdays. Even if she was private practice, she would probably work Saturdays.
If she was private practice, I would imagine she'd be working like more on call too. Like, wouldn't you, like, sometimes those private practice, like, if they get an emergency call from a patient, you know, it's not like...
No, they tell you to call the emergency room. They don't...
Oh, not, do they?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. If you're having a mental emergency, they just tell you to call the emergency room. They They don't do anything.
Gotcha. I wasn't sure.
No.
Obviously, like, I'm taking my cues of what I've seen other psychiatrists, you know, like, from TV. And it's like the portrayals. Yeah. A psychiatrist, because mine never told me to call her for an emergency either.
No,
I've called her for appointments and she's ignored me. So I mean, that's a whole other ball of wax, because I can't get her to respond to me. But I, you know, like taking my ideas from like what you see portrayed. So they'd say call the emergency room if there's an emergency. Okay, good, yeah, no, yeah. So, well, anyway, she might be working Saturdays too, though. Who knows?
But yeah, she could still work Saturdays. I mean, some private practices are open on Saturdays.
Bitch. Holly's just a stay-at-home bitch.
She's just a bitch, yeah. Chatette.
I almost feel like she's jealous, too.
Yeah.
Because she's talking about how busy she is with Jackson. He's got karate and Spanish. Like,
well, she's obviously unfulfilled in her life.
I think that's part, yeah. And she kind of feels jealous that her sister's got, like, a career.
Yeah.
Career woman.
Yeah. Which, like, no judgment if you're a stay-at-home mom or, like, that's what you want to do, like... That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to do whatever you want to do. But, yeah. I sense some jealousy coming off of Holly.
Yeah, I felt some projection there a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just to be an armchair psychiatrist for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I can be. Because this is our fucking podcast.
That's right.
Anyway, so she gets suspended. Not suspended, but a week off. Because she's working 80-hour weeks.
Yes.
Morgan says.
Which is 16-hour days, we figured out. You
Holy
figured out.
Holy shit.
Yeah. For months. Not just like once in a while.
Yeah, he says for months you've been working 80-hour weeks.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
You barely get through 40 hours in a week.
I know. I don't know how she would even do that.
Those
That's
rare
insane.
Weeks I've got like 45 to 50 hours, I'm practically crying at the end. You know, like, how I can never be a doctor. That's official. That and the sight of blood. And organs and things like that. Those squick me.
Which is hilarious considering.
So, what, me?
Yes.
I know, right?
You watch horror movies all the time.
I like, know, well.
Practically for a living.
Yeah, it's true.
For a hobby anyway.
Yeah, but those really aren't like real organs. Like, sometimes they are. Sometimes they're animal organs. That's true. All right, I'm going to shut up now. Anyway, now that she's got the week off, she can attend her nephew's
birthday, yep.
Mm-hmm. So she goes and gets in this really cute model train and she goes to wrap it up, but then she gets sidetracked because she's okay. I have to bitch for a second because I bitched to Chaos. I'm gonna bitch you again, Chaos. This chick drinks wine like an idiot. She has one bottle of white that she must have had. She must use it like for weeks because she pours out like a finger of wine.
She does. Yeah, it's real okay. It's different.
She drinks like a shot too.
Yeah.
Like, dude, if that's whiskey, I can understand it, but it's clearly wine.
It's wine. It's white wine.
Like, dude, what the fuck? Chardonnay was meant to be sipped, not gulped. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway. She's having a nice glass of wine, a shot of wine, and wrapping the gift.
I know. It's like, I get that people use alcohol to steady their nerves, but usually if they're going to do a shot of something, it's going to be like Jameson or something, like not white wine.
Any port and storm, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I got a bottle of white wine at home. I'm going to do some shots later, okay?
Okay.
Anyway, so she's wrapping this gift, but she gets distracted because their home security system goes off. Hers and her partner's, who's I'm just going to refer to them as that. And,
Trevor.
The front door is locked, but she turns around and the back door is open. And she gets a call from the security staff. Okay, this freaked me. Because the caller's like, okay, what's your name and code? Okay, is there anyone in the house? She's like, no. Are you sure? Did you look behind you?
I know. Are you sure you didn't let something in? Did you look behind you?
And then she kind of like turns, as she turns around, and then she snaps out of it and the phone's ringing again. And it's across the room.
Yeah.
I like this spirit. This spirit fucks up. Shit.
She never answered the phone. So she answers the phone and it's the security company for real.
Yeah. And then the police come check the house, and Trevor's like, why'd you turn on the alarm? Bitch, I am home alone in the fucking woods. Why wouldn't I turn on the alarm?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that the fucking point of the alarm, is to have it on?
When you're home alone?
Yeah.
Like, I would have thought so.
Well, she's trying to explain herself, and while she's feeding Mustache, but Mustache is missing.
Mustache is missing.
So fucking sad. She's kind of freaking out a little bit. So she goes to visit her own therapist. Which this, I have read about, that therapists usually have therapists.
Yeah.
While they're training.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty common. Yes. Okay. So she goes to visit her old one. She really just wants a prescription. That's really the only reason she's going. She's not going up to uncover old dirt about her mother's suicide.
Or, yeah, she specifically doesn't want to talk about that.
She doesn't even want to talk about what's going on now, really. She just wants the fucking drugs. She just
wants the fucking Risperdal. God damn it.
That is drug-seeking behavior. I'm just saying. When you ask for it directly, that's kind of drug-seeking.
No, it's not.
I'm kidding.
Jeez.
Which Madeline won't give her.
No.
She's like, well, just see me in a week. Bitch, she'll be dead in a week. Give her the fucking drugs.
I just think it's funny because every time I've gone to a psychiatrist or something, they've been like, let's get you on some meds. Like the first 10 minutes, it's just like, oh,
okay. Dude, I called my OBGYN. Let's get you Zoloft. Okay. Call it in free. Like, yeah. No, seriously.
Yeah. Like my very first appointment with a psychiatrist was, okay, you're hypomanic right now. Would you like to approach this gently or aggressively? Okay, let's get you on some meds.
Was that the aggressive or the gentle version?
Well, either way was meds. Oh, okay. It was just the kind of meds.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, with Madeline being an asshole and denying her, we move on to the birthday party for poor Jackson.
Oh, Poor Jackson. Poor Jackson. This is awful.
How this entity did this, I don't know. But he goes to unwrap his gifts, and he unwraps his gift from his Aunt Rose. Yeah, it's not the model train. It's fucking dead Mustache.
Oh, Mustache. I cried. I cried when Mustache was dead. I felt so bad for her. For Rose, I mean.
And everyone's looking at her like, why would you do this? Like, bitch, why would you think I would do this? This is my fucking cat. It's my baby.
Right, exactly. You wouldn't do this.
And she's trying to convince them. And then all of a sudden she sees Laura there sitting in the corner. She's trying to tell people. And she freaks out and falls backwards into a table.
Into a glass coffee table. So she gets her arms all cut up.
Horrible.
Yes.
Ends up in the emergency room.
Yes.
Sibling won't talk to her, which can't really blame her for that.
Right. Because everyone at the party was traumatized.
And she tries to talk to Trevor about what's happening, and he's just like, did you kill Mustache? He just dismisses her.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's very much like, so did you do it? And then he... is this also where he is all like, well, maybe it's hereditary because your mom killed herself. Like,
and mental illness runs in the family. Smooth, dude.
Like, smooth. Real smooth.
Real nice.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts doing some digging on her own. She goes to see the professor that Laura witnessed killed himself. He killed himself. She didn't go see him. She goes to see his widow, who is mini honorable mention. We forgot to mention this. The widow is actually, she played Carla in Scrubs, who we love.
Yes.
Judy Reyes. So, forgot to mention her earlier. And Gabriel did all these drawings and stuff. And she said, well, it all started happening after Gabriel saw this woman commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
The plot thickens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, eventually, you know, Rose is stupid and admits, hey, I'm having these visions too. So the widow kicks her out of the house.
Yeah.
No one's going to help her. So she goes to her ex-boyfriend, Police Cop Joel. Police Cop Detective Joel. He's the only one that can help.
He is a police detective.
Police Cop Detective.
I'm sorry. That's the new official lingo.
She gets him to help her. He pulls up the file for the one that Muniz saw kill himself, which is Angela Powell. I think she was a real estate broker.
Uh-huh.
And beyond that, it shows Angela being a witness to somebody else's death where he hacks himself up with garden shears.
Yeah.
So obviously there's something going on here.
Yes.
So, while Rose goes home to find that her partner Trevor has, you know, called an intervention with her therapist.
Nice.
Dick move.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes interventions are necessary. In this case, it was really not.
But nobody thinks that she's being truthful. Everybody thinks that this is in her head.
I know.
And that she's just having a breakdown the whole time. Yeah. Which, I mean, I laugh, but it could be. It really could be.
It could
so
be.
It's understandable.
Yeah. She could be having a psychotic break after witnessing Laura do that to herself. I mean, it's very possible.
Yeah, sure. She's got a history of trauma.
Right. Well, and she goes to her sister, too, hoping somebody will listen to her. Like, she's got these files, you know. She just wants somebody to listen to her other than Joel. Greg turns her away at first, and then Holly's like, no, I'll talk to her. And Holly ends up, you know, completely dismissing her as well.
Yep.
And running back in the house, and Rose is sitting in her car trying to figure out what to do, and you see Holly come back out and walk up to the car and knock on the window. And you turn, and all of a sudden, Holly's, you know, it's the creature, the entity.
Yeah, Holly's head is upside down, grinning at her. Yes. Creepy. Lots of good jump scares in this movie. I am not usually a fan of jump scares, but when they're done well, and they're not used for cheap thrills,
mm-hmm.
I like them. And there were a lot of them, so I didn't think I was going to like that. But actually, none of them were gratuitous.
Mm-mm.
So it was good.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I didn't think they were, like, you know how, like, you have the fridge open, you close the fridge, and there's some, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was expecting that, and it wasn't like that at all.
So, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Joel catches up with her and says, he's had 20 of these cases where it's been a chain of 20 people, 19 of which have committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened? Oh, sorry about that. What happened in the 20th version is that the man killed someone else.
Like
he's in prison.
He killed someone else in a traumatic way in front of a witness. God. Because, like, the act has to traumatize the witness.
Right. Well, that witness then committed suicide and started the chain back up again. But,
right.
So they go to visit this this man in jail. And she says that it's her patient. She tells him it's her patient at first. And he's like, I only talk to you with Joel not there. So she gets rid of Joel. He tells her. He's like, He had to do this. He had to do this. Other that's the only way to get rid of the entity without killing himself
mm-hmm.
was by killing someone else and passing it on to someone else. Which at this point, I'm kind of getting a little deja vu. Have you ever seen the movie Fallen?
Yes.
With Denzel Washington?
Yes.
And it's not like they have to kill someone, but just passing it over. Passing mm-hmm. it around. And especially the end where he's like, I'm going to take this entity out by, spoiler alert for Fallen, killing John Goodman and himself at the same time because they're in the woods and no one else is, like, you know, secluding the demon.
Right. There was no way for the demon to jump to anyone else. So,
yeah. Except it jumped into a cat and
yeah.
We should have had a sequel, but that's okay. Anyway. but when Rose panics, when she says, I'm not going to kill someone, he's like, get away from me.
He's like, you have it. It's attached itself to you. Get away from me. Get away from me. And he starts screaming and the guards rush in and she runs out.
So Rose goes back home. Trevor's not there. But Madeline shows up.
Yeah.
She's trying to talk to her. You know, I just want to check in on you and make sure you're doing okay. But at the same time, then Rose gets a call. From the real Madeline.
From Madeline. So the Madeline sitting across from her is the entity.
Oh my God. This poor girl.
I know.
She makes a decision that she's going to try to kill someone. She takes a knife back to her place of work. And we actually see her go in and stab Carl in front of Dr. Morgan.
Which is a hallucination. She doesn't actually do it.
Right, because they all start laughing and Dr. Morgan peels his face off, which is just great.
Which is lovely, yes.
But the hallucination is broken by Dr. Morgan seeing her in the car with a knife.
Yes, which he then sees calls the knife. Police. So she drives away, but he calls the police on her.
Which she figures out when during her conversation, I need to be alone. And she figures it out. So she goes to her old house, which the one her mother committed suicide in, thinking, okay, I'll be completely alone.
Right.
It's a dilapidated piece of shit. She's got, this is where we have the flashback of her mother. She's not dead. She's dying.
Right.
And Rose runs away and doesn't call the help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the demon turns into her mother.
Right.
To further torture her before it then comes into this like 10-foot tall lurching creature thing with her mom's face to scuffle with her.
Yes.
And she knocks over an oil lamp, causing a fire, which inflames the creature, and she runs she out. She
clocks the creature over the head with the lantern and lights it on fire. Yeah. And as it burns, she runs from the house and drives back to Joel's house.
Right, where she's talking to him about it, and all of a sudden he's like, I'll be with you forever. And he starts grinning.
Yeah, and she realizes, oh no, this is not really happening. So she goes to leave and she runs outside, but she realizes she's outside her parents' house and she never left, and she hallucinated everything once she entered the house. So she never had the big confrontation with the entity.
And this is Cass's favorite part, because Joel pulls up and Rose goes in the house and locks the door, and the entity comes out and rips its face off.
Yeah.
And then opens Rose's mouth and pours himself into her.
Yeah, like climbs inside through her mouth. So gross. I loved it.
So when Joel comes inside, he finds Rose and she's not talking. She's dumping oil on herself or gasoline on herself.
Gasoline, yeah.
She turns around grinning and lights a match.
And lights herself on fire.
And then we hear the lollipop, lollipop, which
the curse is passed to him.
Yeah.
Which sucks for him because he was just trying to, like, help her.
Well, maybe he'll be smarter about it and do what I said and commit suicide all by himself.
Well, that's
until,
what he, yeah.
Until taking an hour to figure it out. I called that bitch like an hour into this movie. I'm just saying.
You did. You totally did. But would the entity have let her commit suicide alone? Because she could have think she was doing it and it was just a hallucination.
Mm. True.
So that's my thought.
Ugh, God, I don't know how to feed it. Feed it. Kill it.
I don't either. Fool it.
That's the word. So what did you think of this one?
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yay, I picked something that you liked. I'm so happy.
Yeah. I don't know if I would watch it again, but I thought it was a good movie. It kept me entertained. I like slow burns, so that part was good for me. Like I said, the jump scares didn't bother me. I thought they were good. And the story was interesting, and I always like psychological stuff, like talking about trauma and how, you know, you something like scars you and you might never heal from it because it's so impactful, and how trauma spreads from generation to generation and all kinds of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good call. Which is interesting because everyone that did commit suicide had a trauma too.
Yeah, they did.
Like Laura saw her mother die. Mm-hmm. Munoz saw her brother die. I mean, mm-hmm. they had previous traumas prior to this happening, so it's very interesting.
Yeah.
It's almost like the entity picked traumatized people.
Yeah.
Like they were almost more weaker. I don't know.
No, I think it was just a metaphor for trauma and how trauma spreads and that kind of thing.
We'll never know until we interview the entity, which it's right here. No, I'm just kidding. No, I agree. I was a little skeptical at first. When the movie, I think it was the first or second shot, when the movie first opened, we're like, oh God, we're doing these fancy camera angles, zooming in. Like, I was like, okay, this is going to try to be like too fancy. But then I really enjoyed it. Like, I was like, no, it was only a couple parts of it. And it was like, you had to kind of turn your head a little bit. Like, what are we showing? Oh, okay. And the camera's slowly tilting back to normal. And I'm like, okay, fine. But it was, I can't be bothered by fancy stuff. I mean, I'm just not fancy. So, but no, I thought the jump scares, I wasn't worried because I don't care what the jump scare is. I just love a good jump scare no matter what. But considering who recommended this, their son is an aficionado of horror movies as well. Mm-hmm. They love them. So if he thought I was good, I figured, okay, I'll probably enjoy these jump scares. And they were really well done. Like, they weren't as you anticipated them. They furthered the story because they furthered Rose's mental descent.
Mm-hmm.
So they were entirely appropriate. It wasn't just for gotcha moments, you know?
Right.
I keep thinking, do you remember Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Joan Calamezzo. Gotcha. She wants her gotcha moments. That's what I feel like sometimes in like cheap horror movies, like, I won't name names, where it's like, it's just a gotcha moment. Just be like, haha, we gotcha.
Yeah. You know? Like, we just, nothing really happened. We just suddenly played a music sting for no reason. Mm-hmm. And haha, gotcha.
That was another thing with this movie too. I like the soundtrack. It was very subtle.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you noticed or not, but it was very subtle and very, haunting the whole way through.
Yes, it was.
Like, it didn't change. Like, most horror movies, if it's like a tent scene or something, they'll amp up the music and make the violins, you know, intensify in speed and lower, go to a lower octave to, you know, say that, hey, this is going to be a tent scene coming up. You really didn't have that with this movie. It was just kind of almost like a horror lullaby.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason why I fell asleep too, is like, because it was very minimal, but it was just soothing almost. Because it wasn't that kind of, like, they didn't fuck with the music to make you know that, hey, something's coming.
Right.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
So it was very subtle. I appreciate the subtlety of it.
It was actually tense. I don't know if you were listening, but
I was lullabied to it. It was not that, like, the whole thing was, you know, it was good. Shut up, as a horror lullaby. How many fits me otherwise?
It had tense points.
You're a tense point.
I am.
Any trivia you want to give? Because it's a brand new movie, so I'm sure there'll be more that comes out. I do have some fan fiction, nonefanfiction.net, but if you want to, go to fan fiction. Nope, I just said there are none of fan fiction. Go to Archive of Our Own. There are 6 fan fiction so far. Some are crossed with, like, Stranger Things. One's crossed with Top Gun. And then Hero Academy. So go check it out at Archive of Our Own for the fan fictions.
That's interesting because a 40-second teaser trailer was shown at the screenings of Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, maybe that's why. Although that's just kind of weird. But, okay. Interesting way to cross it. So, anything you want to add?
Not really, no.
Well, should we rate then?
Sure, let's rate.
All right, it's my pick, so I should go first. So I enjoyed it. Yes, it was a slow burn, but it's not a slow burn that I minded. Mm-hmm. Like, some movies that are just, that you could cut them. This one, you really couldn't cut it.
Yeah, there weren't, like, meaningless, empty extra scenes.
It was necessary. Again, it was like kind of like to the mental descent. It was all necessary.
Yeah.
So because of that, I'm going to go pretty high. I'm going to go like an 8.152.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm at a 7.5. I thought it was good. Like I said, I don't know if I'll watch it again, but I thought it was a good movie, and I'll probably think about it for a while.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's pimp us and get the hell out then.
All right. We are part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. MorbidlyBeautiful.com is your place for all things horror, and they have a great podcast network that'll be linked in the show notes. So if you enjoy this podcast, check out their other horror offerings, and you'll probably find something else you like. We are on all the social medias. If you'd like to interact with us, we are at Podcast at Night on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we have a Facebook group. Where you can join us for interactions, but mostly memes, I'm going to be honest. A lot of memes.
Yep.
We are primarily at Instagram if you'd like to get in contact with us. Primarily Instagram. Also, Slasher and Good Pods. So if you have a Slasher or a Good Pods, add us over there. What we really would like is reviews. If you'd like to support us but you don't have any cash, which we totally get, we don't have any cash either, you can leave us a review. It doesn't have to take more than 5 minutes, and it helps us get other listeners on the show, so we really appreciate that. And if you do have some cash to flash, we have a merch store that'll be that'll be linked in the show notes as well. As well as my Skyrim Let's Play series is still going on at youtube.com. That'll be linked in the show notes as well. So give that a check out if you enjoy video game Let's Plays. It's pretty interesting. Even if you think you've seen Skyrim, we are playing a mod called Falskar right now, so it's not Skyrim like you've seen before. So anyway, that'll do it from me, Chaos, and I'll just say thanks for listening and stay bloodthirsty, friends.
Good night from Carnage, and as always, we're filmed in front of a live studio audience of Cheshire Grinning Cats. Ting!